WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support comes from Sweet Impact Chocolates, Kenosha's producer of premium chocolates dedicated to the ethical treatment of the workers who grow it, back at the Kenosha Winter Harbor Market November 23rd. For a list of local retail locations or to order online, visit sweetimpactchocolates.com.
Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Riverwood Produce Farms. This week, bringing to market onions, celery root, potatoes, carrots, broccoli, Wisconsin cranberries, and more. The market is open Saturdays from 10 until 2 at its new location near the museums. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. This is Lenny Aquinta for Community Matters, and our topic this morning is health equity in southeastern Wisconsin with a focus on fatherhood. My guests this morning are Charmaine Harris, the Father Involvement Program Coordinator for the Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency. He runs the Dedicated Dads Program. And also with us this morning is one of the fathers, Mr. Kyle Smith, and his one-year-old son is with him here. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
We're talking about social determinants of health on the program lately. Those who are assiduous listeners to Community Matters may recall that we talked on August 3rd with national experts on the topic of social determinants of health. And on August 24th, we talked with Juan Torres of the Kenosha Unified School District about the topic of social determinants of health. And this all feeds into the reasonably well-known Kenosha County Lifestyles Initiative, Life Course Initiative. And the Life Course Initiative for Healthy Families is to ensure that everyone gets an even and equal start in life. And it applies, of course, to women, children, and infants, and it applies to the whole population as well. But our focus this morning is going to be on families, and particularly fathers and children. Now, the Dedicated Dad Fatherhood Initiative was built on an evidence-based data that was derived by the Kenosha Life Course Initiative. The strategy is a two-pronged approach, as I understand this, and Mr. Harris, please go on and explain this a little bit further. The first point, I understand, is to increase father involvement at the women, infant, and children visits, and the second is to provide father-specific education and support. And your target population is WIC fathers or fathers-to-be whose partner or children are recipients of WIC services in Kenosha County. Mr. Harris, is that correct? Is that a good description?
Yep. So it's operated out of the WIC office, in which I always say WIC stands for Women, Infants, and Children, right? And so what did you not hear in there?
Fathers.
There you go. So we knew we had our work cut out for us when we began this initiative simply because of the name. And, you know, in the past, that has not been the case. And so that first prong approach was to make sure that we are making the WIC office more father-inclusive, more father-friendly, letting guys know when they come to the office that you're a part of this program as well. And so what we do is try to incorporate them as much as we can into the WIC processes, into the nutrition education. In addition to that, doing specific fatherhood programming, which is really what the Dedicated Dads is all about, getting guys together and bringing awareness to this issue of fatherhood.
Let's get into the gory details in a few seconds. But first of all, I wonder if we could start with the end.
Okay.
When a father graduates from this program, what behaviors would a dedicated dad exhibit? How would you recognize a dedicated dad if you saw one?
Okay, so thankfully I got my guy Kyle here today who can talk more about that. But a dedicated dad is going to be more well-informed on specific things that come to child rearing. Yes, the program is more or a lot about the fathers, but we want to make sure that we know that the focus is on the children. And so dads that finish the program will have more knowledge about the social effects that come with children, the social emotional impact that they have on the kids. And so WIC serves a population of kids from 0 to 5 years old. And so getting the dads to realize how important those first 5 years of child development are for the kid right there in that moment and all the way into the future. We all know that kids do significantly more better when they have dad involved when it comes to just motor skills. And if you think about it, you know, kids just take more risk when it comes to when dad's involved. Like, I don't know if you ever experienced it, but when my son was young, he'll just jump off the top bunk or the bed knowing that dad is going to catch him. And so even now when he's learning to ride his bike, he's taking more risks. So to answer your question, the dads just are more aware, and then they have they're better equipped to be the best father they can be in their kids' lives.
How long have you been working with this program?
So July 15th made 4 years that I've been at the Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency, specifically the WIC program in Kenosha.
I might mention that this program has received some really important awards.
Yeah.
You want to tell us a little bit about them?
Yep. So I believe it was 2017 we received the Community Impact Program through WISCAP, Community Action Programs of Wisconsin. We received the Community Impact Award. In addition to that, I received the NAACP Positive Impact Award for the program. I also received the Young Leaders in Kenosha Award through Y-Link, which is partnered with CABA. What else? A 20 Under 40 Award I received, nominated for Person of the Year. And so I want to make sure it's not about me. It's about the dads and all those men and everybody that went through the program through this time are the reason why we're here today and still moving and thriving in the effort of fatherhood.
Well, this recognition affirms the vitality and importance of this evidence-based program, and congratulations.
Yep.
Mr. Smith, Kyle, welcome to the program. What's your son's name?
My little one here is Cameron Nasir Smith.
Hi, how are you?
Say hi, Cameron.
He's a cute one.
Thank you.
How did you get involved in the program, Mr. Smith?
Honestly, I got involved through social media. You know, Charmaine did a great job of getting the name out there and getting the word. You know, myself personally, when I came into the WIC office, I was kind of aware of it. But when he actually came in contact and spoke with me, I'm like, you know what? I really got to make sure I get my butt on out here. So he does a good job at making the fathers feel like, hey, you are a part of this process. This is here for you as well, too. So that's really how I got involved with it and haven't stopped since.
Mr. Harris, take us back a step now. Tell us about the development of this program and the philosophy behind it a little bit more in detail.
Okay, so as you said earlier, it derived out of the K-Life Initiative, Kenosha Life Course Initiative. A lot of the work was done before I even came on board. And so I came on board through being a participant of WIC. And so we got a little Cam here, and we don't mind him cooing and cowing over here.
No, he's better behaved than I am.
Yeah. So I came into the WIC office as a participant. And when I came there, I was approached by one of the staff members, and she was telling me about this fatherhood program they were trying to do. And so at the time, I was a new dad, and I was looking to learn as much as I can about fatherhood. And so I was like, when, where, what time, you know, eager to be the best father that I can be. To make a long story even longer, I came out to the event, and after hearing they was promoting it so much, I was the only dad that showed up. And so at this time is where I met my supervisor, Pam Halbach, and I said, hey, you know, I'm from Kenosha. Maybe you should let me volunteer to host a meeting, put my name on a flyer. I'll get the message out there through my social media. I posted the flyers up all around Kenosha. And on the day of my event as a volunteer, we had over 20 guys in attendance. And so that kind of was set the tone. I imagine she was thinking like, you know, we got to get this guy on board now. And so
it shows the power of social media and also personal networks and recognition of someone local that people can identify with, I'm sure.
True.
Yes.
And so I continued on. I didn't get the job right away, but for a period of 6 months, I would call, email, stop in and say, hey, I just wanted to know about that job opportunity.
Don't forget me.
I'm a guy that's not ashamed to share my past. In the past, I've been in prison, did time, and coming out, I just wanted to change my life. And so when I got this opportunity, I was sure to take advantage of it. And so after about 6 months, I came on part-time and then eventually came on full-time, and it's been going well ever since.
Well, that's terrific. And you're still working on improving your educational credentials too, aren't you?
I am. I'm currently over at Carthage College for a degree in business management and marketing. And so after all of this came out, I met District Attorney Michael Gravely here in town, and we connected. I kind of shared my story with him, and he helped me get back in front of the same judge that sentenced me to 5 years, but this time she was taking me off parole 4 years early or modifying my sentence. And so that blew up. That newspaper article got out. That really showed the guys here in Kenosha that it's possible. And then that's what led to me being a full-time student over at Carthage on a full-ride scholarship, a Kenosha scholarship.
Now, congratulations.
I salute you. Thank
that's
you. Appreciate
a very inspiring story.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Kyle, Mr. Smith, tell us a little bit more about how you have benefited from this program. What was it like for you when you first started, and how has it been since? But tell us a little bit about your evolution in the program.
Well, so when I first started, I actually myself was having difficulties. I'm a stepfather as well, too. I have one son who isn't in my primary care, so I have to co-parent there as well, too. And then I have baby Cam, who we are together. So I was in a unique situation. As a man, you know, you feel like you can handle everything on your own, but it was very confusing at times. And what Dedicated Dads brought to me was not only just fellowship and other men to bounce ideas and learn from, but it brought me another line of structure, another line of a commitment to force myself to be held accountable, to continue to push myself to be accountable. If I want my boys to be the strongest men they can be, why wouldn't I be the best father that I can be? So this is another tool to add to my arsenal. So for me, you know, Dedicated Dads has brought more than just, you know, the fellowship and the guidance, but it's that extra structure. You know, I come from a football background playing as a kid, so having, you know, a mentor or a coach is always something that helped, you know, helped keep me on the line. And it's not that I didn't recognize how important my kids were to me, but I didn't realize how much they would change me, and Dedicated Dads really helped with that as well, too. Well,
tell us a little bit more about how they've changed you.
Well, patience. Yes. Organizing and managing your time. You don't realize how much time it takes to just feed your child, to change your child. I mean, I started having children late. You know, I'm after 30, you know. So for a lot of kids in my generation, they were already having kids. So, you know, which is why my significant other now, her son is 12 years old. So it was learning how to raise him as a stepfather, learning how to, you know, develop and change these young minds at the same time, but then grow myself. And that's really what Dedicated Dads has brought. So,
Mr. Harris.
Yeah, and so just to get into some of the specifics of the topics that we touch on in the program, you know, I just want to share that one of the first topics we touch on is the roots of fathering. And so we ask the participants, what is your fathering history? And so you'll find out many times you'll either get the best story or the worst story ever when you ask somebody about their father. And so I probably talked to 500, 600 fathers now and over the 4 years I've been there, whether they enrolled or not, but I can honestly say that half of them didn't have their dad in their lives. And so when we dig a little deeper, we realize that their dad didn't have his dad in his life. And so what I like to say, Dedicated Dads, is we're stopping that, and we're putting an end to that stigma or whatever of the absent father, and we're choosing to be the father that we want to be for our family. So once we get that out the way, opens up the discussion to other topics like co-parenting and child development and teamwork and communication. All these things some of us may have not seen when we were young. You know, just being transparent with you here, my mom and dad never married. You know, my mom has five kids, is four different fathers. And so my dad did time as well. And so I never really seen it, but I didn't allow that to tell myself, make me tell myself that I'm going to do the same. I said I'm going to use that as a foundation. And now that I'm married with three kids, I'm sure to just keep that father in history in mind as I continue to be the best father that I can be.
That sounds like a very important point that you've made to me, that whether there's an absent father or a father that wasn't great at fathering, those role models then don't inform the young father's own behavior. Mm-hmm. And what can we do to help that young father or new father be successful?
And so just like what Kyle just said, when he came, he grew up in sports, and so he seen the coaching opportunity there. And so many of us long for that. And so for the dads that tell me that their dad wasn't there in their lives, I try to help them identify maybe there was a male figure in your life. Maybe it was a football coach. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a pastor. And so if they can identify that, then great. But oftentimes it's a negative influence in their lives. I can only speak from my personal experience. It was the local street guy, or, you know, the guy riding around selling drugs, and he got nice rims and money in his pocket. And so I didn't go that way immediately, but later in life, that was a heavy influence. Or, you know, sometimes it's the rappers and all the societal influence that can play a role in people's lives.
We're talking this morning with Mr. Kyle Smith, a father with a one-year-old son who's here with us today, and Mr. Shermaine Harris from the Father Involvement Program at the Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency. And this is part of our series on social determinants of health. Shermaine, you have at the Kenosha Racine Community Action two different programs that you list on your website, which, by the way, people can get to by going to www.rkcaa.org. That's rkcaa.org.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the programs is Dedicated Dad's Power Hour. Then there's another one, Dedicated Dad One-to-One. Let's start about the Power Hour. Can I ask you, Kyle, and you, Charmaine, to tell us a little bit about the Dedicated Dad's Power Hour, Mr. Mm-hmm. Harris?
And so the Power Hour consists of the curriculum that I take the dads through, which is the Nurturing Fathers curriculum. And so that's more of the general type of session. Dads from all different walks of life come. We've now developed a partnership with Child Support where they refer fathers over. And then we kind of get some referrals from probation and parole as well. So upon completion of the Power Hour classes, many of the fathers receive $250 towards their birth expenses through the partnership with Child Support. In addition to that, we have a partnership with the YMCA, where once the dad completes X amount of sessions with me, he receives a family YMCA membership for 6 months. And so as we've been growing, we've just been making sure we're connected with the community and making sure we develop those strategic alliances so that we can further support the dads. Recently, I invite people in to talk about certain things with the fathers. I remember one time we had a mental health specialist come in and talk, and she's naming all of these disorders like depression, anxiety, and all those things. And one of the guy raises his hand. He's like, I think I got all of those. And so as funny as it might seem, you know, it's kind of serious because these things happen. All of us, I feel, go through mental health issues, but being able to identify them is key to overcoming them. You know, just like recovery and addiction, the first thing is admitting that it's an issue. So once you find out, okay, maybe those things are happening, then you can address it. The one-on-one thing is where I specifically target younger fathers or dads who just had a baby. And so I like that group to have kids from 0 to 6 months, 1 year old at the most. And so this is a tough group to kind of target because they're generally 17, 18-year-olds. I recall when I was 17, 18, thought I knew everything, didn't want to listen to nobody. And so what I find in reaching out to those young dads is it take a little bit of dripping it on them instead of trying to flood them with the information. So as they come into the WIC office, I just say, hey, how you doing? You know, not really trying to force them to come out to the groups. But since we've been doing it, some of those dads, a year or two later, they end up coming to the program. And what ends up happening is it's turned into more of a support group where you got 30-year-old me and Kyle talking to, you know, 17, 18-year-old men who are new fathers and kind of going through some situations. And my biggest thing is to try to get those young fathers not to split up with the mother of their children. The research shows that couples from 18 to 25 tend to split up after the baby is about 18 months of being born. Can you imagine why that is?
The stress mm-hmm. of care, among other things.
Yep.
Time commitment that Mr. Smith mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and so I joke with the guys, like, you know, financially, you can't buy that PlayStation no more. You can't buy Call of Duty and Jordans. And, you know, they always complain about the mother, like, her stress or emotions coming out. I'm like, bro, a human being just came out of her body. Like give her a break. Yeah, she's going to be upset and tense. And so it's for us as men to kind of be understanding of that and realize that we have to do everything we can to support them. And so that's what I do with those dads in the one-on-one sessions. So all the dads don't like the groups, so I made sure I had an opportunity for one-on-one.
Well, this is very interesting to me, and I'm always impressed when our community human development services agencies work together mm-hmm. outside of silos to partner to have effective outcomes for each other. So it's really great to hear about those partnerships. I'm also impressed with the challenge that you have, and I understand, Kyle, you're involved in helping be a mentor after you've been mentored yourself. You've gone from mentee to mentor.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're doing adult education, and you're also doing a traditional high school age education with some of these young men as well.
Correct.
Which are two different learning styles altogether.
Yes.
And so that must be very challenging for you.
Yes. It's several different types of fathers when you think about it. You know, you got a first-time father. You got a dad that's got 3 or 4 kids. You got military dads. You got dads that just came out of prison. You got young dads, you know, older dads that's, you know, they might have been 45 or 50 and they had another child. And so it's different from their 20-year-old kids and, you know, they're kind of starting over. So it's a wide range of different kinds of fathers that I talk to or work with on a daily basis.
I'd like to turn to you, Mr. Smith. Kyle, you've turned into more of a mentor now, and yes. You are, I'm sure, more than familiar with the Dedicated Dads Power Hour and the one-to-one program. I wonder if you could share with us some of your experiences in working with men on these programs and what it's been like for you as in the experience of doing some mentoring and teaching yourself. That must have changed you too.
Definitely. I guess the cliche, rewarding. You never know how good it feels until you're actually helping someone. You see the smiles on these guys' faces, and then you see the changes and the commitment that they come every week. They're willing to, you know, maybe start off a little quieter, but the more and more they get used and the more and more they talk to us that have been there and they hear, like, hey, this isn't your normal program. You guys are really here for us. They open up and they start to tell their stories. You know, I've heard some stories in the group about, you know, some situations between father and son that have helped me, not only with my father, who I've had issues with, but also then the next guy that comes through this program, I'm able to tell him a little different situation and mentor him in a different way because now I've dealt with that man. So, you know, the rewards you really get from just seeing these guys change and grow and the energy they have when speaking about their children, it's awesome.
How long does this that last? Do you you have some sort of an intake procedure? And is this do you sign up for life? Is it 6 months, 1 week?
I signed up for life.
Yeah,
good,
so
good for you. Mr. Harris?
There's many dads who have completed and continue to come, and so I use them as kind of like the guinea pigs in a group. You know, I call on them first to, you know, lead off with the introductions or whatever. But generally, right now, it's changed over the years, but currently – once a dad completes 6 sessions with me, then he's complete. And so after the 6 sessions, they get the benefits that I mentioned or the incentives that I mentioned. But the greatest benefit I always say is building that community amongst guys. And although we invite many resources in to come and talk, most of the resources come from amongst the guys. Like, you know, a dad may have a job offering at his job, and someone might – not have a job, and they connect with each other. And so I highly encourage the dads. You know, I'm not the expert here. You guys help me out. And so make sure y'all connecting with each other, be it social media, get each other's phone numbers, and let's continue this movement of men coming together for the greatest cause of the children that's going to be after us, the next generation.
I noticed that the website references that you use online technology as well in some of your work. Tell us, fellas, how that works. You use the online technology in addition to the personal group and individual sessions or in place of it?
Yeah, so just as an additive to the program, just making sure we're getting the messaging out there. I believe I came to my supervisor and, you know, currently, you know, we live in a technology world, so I'm like, we got to find a way to get this message out there further. And so if you go on the website, you can see the videos, and many times I get a dad that goes on a website, watches the videos, and they have an opportunity to submit an inquiry, which comes to my email, and then I'm able to connect with them from there. So
the video can become an intake step.
Kind of, sorta. And so
I saw those videos. I recommend to our viewers go to the Racine Kenosha website. Go to the website and look for the Dedicated Dads program. If you go into the search bar, it'll pop right up, and you can see some really great videos. Yep. You're a great. Yep. Great video star, by the way. I was very impressed. You do a good job. Tell us a little more about this technology.
And so, you know, as I as the videos are online and early in the building phase of this, we went around and I spoke at several different national WIC conferences out in Cincinnati, out in New Orleans, and we're encouraging other WIC projects to kind of implement the model or, you know, take notes to what we do. And so many of them go back to our website and see what we're doing. And so I've had professionals and fathers as far as Alaska reach out to me through the website. And so just getting that message out there, you know, the power of social media and, you know, using the online services is huge right now.
Well, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
The reach that you have then is very important. But also you've said something that I didn't know. Do I understand that we're once again here in Kenosha County and in southeastern Wisconsin leading the way with a program like this?
I believe so. Yes.
Yay.
Yes, we are. And so we're not the first WIC project to do this, but we're one of the first to have this much success. And so in the first year, we had over 100 fathers go through the program. And then over the last 3 or 4 years, we've been having around the same amount go through, but more impactful type of content being provided to them. So now, you know, the program has turned into a resource center type of thing. So dads reach out to me, even if they don't come to the program, I'm still able to provide them with different resources that I know about in the community, because at one point my job title was community liaison in addition to father involvement specialist. So I know of all of the community resources here. And so when they call me with an issue, I'm like, oh, you just got to call this number. Oh, tell them I referred you from the Dedicated Dads program. They might get you in quicker or whatever. So, you know, building.
You're very well connected, and that's yep. a key. That's mm-hmm. a key to the success of a program like this. Now, this is really an important program. Where does the funding come from for this program, and how can we make sure it keeps flowing?
And so initially, we got our start through a grant with the United Way. And so that's what kind of helped me get on in my position part-time. After that, we got funding for the Minority Health Grant. And so what that grant entailed was it was a large focus on infant mortality. And so infant mortality is kind of bad here in Wisconsin, kind of worse than some third world countries, they say. And so with that, our focus was, you know, if we can get the information to both mom and dad about, you know, safe sleep, about nutrition, about those type of things, then it will better benefit the entire family. So now we have a partnership with Child Support, in which there's a contract there, and then the partnership with the YMCA, which is not a direct contract, but it's a partnership. And we recently did a fundraiser where people can donate, and you can go on rkcaa.org and find that link. I'm not sure if we're still doing it, but we've been getting a lot of attention and a lot of support from the community.
So the agency will accept donations. I think there's a donate button on,
yes,
on the website
definitely,
someplace.
Definitely.
It'll be not too hard to find.
Yes.
And we can open up our pocketbooks,
yes,
and help support this work, bring it into larger and larger numbers of people.
Yep.
Kyle, tell me a little bit more about your personal experience and how you would try to relay to another man the importance of getting involved. How would you try to bring another person into the program? And how would you advise our listeners who are all over this community in southeastern Wisconsin, if they know someone that would benefit from this program, what should they tell them, and how should they tell them to get involved?
Well, what I would do is, so I just ask guys, you know, how important are your kids to you? You know, if your kids are important to you, then why not try to better yourself as a man? So, I mean, some people, like Charmaine has said, it took them a year or so to come in. But I think what brings guys in, or what I can best say, is just look at the proof. Look at the pudding. Look at the men when you talk to them. See the energy. Come into the room and feel the energy of the room, and feel men helping guide each other to be better fathers, to make a better impact on their children's lives. And I think that's one thing that I always stress on. And then a lot of times for some of these guys, to be honest with you, once they see a friend or two that they grew up with, that they knew, and they see it's Charmaine, someone that they knew from this area, that's as easy as yeah. it gets sometimes, to be perfectly honest with you.
Word of mouth has been the greatest recruitment tool, as with any business or nonprofit. We all know that, you know, getting that direct referral makes a world of a difference.
Now, you've had a lot of success, and it's been, what, 5 years almost?
Yep, almost 5 years.
If I gave you a magic wand, this is one of my favorite questions.
Oh, man.
If I gave you a magic wand to amp it up, what resources or what would you wish for to take it to the next level? Unless everything's perfect already.
So what you'll find many times with the guys I work with is a financial barrier or barriers to employment. And so the society calls them high-risk fathers. I just call them fathers. But they may have a felony on their record, like me. And so what I would like to do in some way or some fashion is have some type of relationship with businesses or a business or an employer around here, where once they see that this dad has went through the dedicated dads program, it's like a bit of a warm handoff. And so I do a lot of social emotional support with the fathers. An employability piece could be added. We talk about it, and we talk about, you know, how your resume should look and things like that, but we don't really go into a deep dive into it. A lot of times I refer them. I'm not sure, you know, the quality of, you know, other programs, but if I was able to develop that and then have that partnership with someone out in the industrial complex or, you know, wherever, then I will be able to have that resource where you're not only going through here and getting this feel-good message, you're able to provide for your kids now, which is the greatest concern for the fathers that I work with at the root of everything, you know.
Poverty is foundational to a lot of human problems. Is it?
Very true.
Kyle, you're nodding your head, Mr. Smith. Yeah. Any comment on that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I just look at, you know, my life and how I grew up, and I look at a lot of the fathers in these programs, you know. It's not that they don't want to financially take care of the kids. Sometimes they don't know the resources or don't know the way, and that's where Dedicated Dad does help greatly. I mean, the resources I've gained and the knowledge now and the confidence to go ask these questions and to go find these resources is phenomenal. So,
and in addition to that, you know, child support court is really, really tough. Some things are changing, even from the state and federal level. I hear, but a lot of times, you know, when a couple splits up and the dad is like falling on bad times, what has happened is the guys that go to jail from child support court is similar to like a debtor's prison. You know, because you can't pay, you need to go serve time. And that's like counterintuitive, you know.
It's focus. Dickensian.
Yeah, yeah. And so I haven't seen any evidence of that working. All I see is families being further impaired or destroyed by that type of style. And so, as I said, things are changing, and I'm hopeful that things may continue to get better.
The felony conviction issue is a big one nationally. It's not just a Kenosha, Walworth, Racine issue. What's your take? Any more you'd like to say about that issue? I was just at a meeting a few days ago this past week at which a number of employers were complaining about they can't find people to hire. And but they, you know, then I hear them talk about all the barriers they have to being hired, and it makes me scratch my head.
Yeah, and so I was talking to somebody about this. Sometimes they see that felony on your record and, you know, automatically disqualify or whatever. But if they really looked at, you know, their turnover or whatever, the ones that don't have a blemish on their record, they fall off faster than someone who does. And so, you know, just because someone has a perfect resume don't mean they're the perfect fit. And so what I say about guys that do come from where I come from and have that, you know, on their background, they have a extra sense of urgency and an extra sense of loyalty to a organization if they're given a chance. And that's essentially what happened with me at RKCAA, where I was given a chance and, you know, I made it my mission to take this thing to the next level and continue to take it to the next level. But it couldn't have been done if my supervisor now and, you know, the CEO and everybody else involved at the time didn't say, let's give this guy a chance, you know.
You know, redemption is foundational to every major spiritual movement on this globe.
Right.
And sometimes I wonder if we forget that. And we forget to take that out of the temple, church, and synagogue into our business lives.
True.
I'm happy to hear you make that point, Mr. Smith. You're nodding your head again. I think you agree.
Yes, I definitely agree.
You see this problem with the men you work with?
Yeah, you know, a lot of them are looking for another shot. They're looking for another chance, and like I said, Dedicated Dads can definitely give them that extra confidence and the resources. I mean, even myself. I take the time to talk to these guys and find out what it is they like. And, you know, maybe it's not a job for you. Maybe it's starting your own business. Maybe it's going back to school. But being able to speak to those guys, the program just helps amazingly with that.
And just to add to that, yes, there is an accountability piece here. You know, if you having kids, you need to be taking care of your kids. And, if you know, if you get yourself in some trouble, you got to work your way out of it. But it's just, it doesn't feel as if there's a lot of support in doing so. And so you, even if there is some support or not, you still have to be committed to change and committed and dedicated to everything in your life. And so dedicated dads is not just, you know, about being a dedicated father. It's just, it's about being a dedicated individual, period.
We've been touching in so many ways on the intersectionality of how these different issues cross. Felony records as bars to employment and being asked on an employment application and being immediately tossed out because of it. Poverty, adequate transportation to have a job. If you don't have a reliable car, it's very hard to support yourself in southeastern Wisconsin or just about anywhere else unless you live in a big city with really decent transportation like Chicago or New York or some of these other big cities where I've lived during my exile from Kenosha while I was trying to earn a living because there weren't any jobs here that existed for me at that time when I was a young man. So I think that that's really important, and the fact that you're working so closely with other agencies and you are cognizant of and addressing the employment issue is very important. People tend to forget that in Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth counties, approximately 40% on average of the people are either at federal poverty level or at what we call near poverty, asset limited, employed, but without sufficient resources to manage any kind of small crisis like a major car repair. So this is a program that I see having not only accomplished much, but it sounds like you've positioned yourself to be also at the nexus of this intersectionality so you can work with others and see the broader picture. Because if you just stay in the silo of fathering without addressing employment, that's nonsensical.
It's so many different things that come with it, and it's unfolded when I talk to a guy. And so, you know, 95% of the prison population eventually going to come home. And so hundreds of thousands people released back into the society after, you know, doing their time. And so we have to do what we can to support them, because if we want a better, safer community, as we claim, you know, why make them feel like they're on an island? And you know, the idle minds is a devil playground. And so I like to keep them as connected as possible so that they can continue to be the best man that they can be. You know, recently a guy after 12 years came to see me, a guy after doing 10 years in federal jail came to see me, and the guy that did 10 years is $100,000 in debt because his child support case kept rolling while he was inside. And so just thinking about that, he'll probably never, I hate to sound pessimistic, but never be at a positive wealth or financial status. And so what do I say to somebody like that? Like, you know, what resources do I provide besides, you know, the ones that we have? And so I got them connected and with you know, some people, but, you know, I ain't really sure what his status is as of now, because, it, you know, I imagine it's depressing. You know, it'd be $100,000 in debt.
It sure would be. As we are thinking about your program, I wonder if you were sitting across from me and I was a prospective client and benefiting from this program that you're running, what would you tell me to get me in the door?
So, I mean, it's a it's a certain approach I have, and so I always come with lead with questions like, you know, how many kids you got, and depending on if you're a new dad, if you're a new father and you just had, I'm asking about how is that going for you? Are you getting any sleep at night? All those, like, things that make you comfortable and talking about, and then I would just simply offer you what we have, in which I will explain all the incentives that I explained earlier, and say you can come on out if you want. The doors are open. I'll get your contact information, and then after that I'll follow up with a text message just letting you know what's going on and different events and things like that, because in addition to the program, we do different events. At the WIC office, we used to do a thing called Taste of WIC, where we get the dads to come out and cook healthy meals. We did a Father's Day barbecue in the past. We did a daddy-daughter dance in the past. And, oh, yeah, November 14th, we're doing a graduation for the fathers. All the dads will have an opportunity to go up and share what they learned. And I'm seeking a speaker.